proud land, we grew up strong. We were wanted all along. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Take Point 22. And I am your host, Michael Bejas, and hopefully Karen Arnold will be with me soon. We shall see. She's had a lot of family things going on right now, so I've reached out to her, but we'll find out. Anyway, we broadcast live all over the world, so if you come on over to the Trim Radio Network with any type of device that can connect you to the internet, you can find us. If you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, message us, and we'll show you how easy it is to do that. We're always on the lookout for new and exciting shows. We are a very family-oriented based show, radio show, and radio station. So you can also come on over. You can find the merchandise that we have. So pick out your favorite show, and we have a whole bunch of them, from Red Pill Reality Show to Fishing in Florida Show, you know, Take Point 22, Offside, Slobber Knocker, Circle of Q. I mean, we just have so many shows that are on the network right now. You guys will absolutely love it. And we have apparel and different things for each show. So pick the best show that you like and what you enjoy the most and sport our, you know, our apparel. And it helps us stay on the air. The opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its managers, owners, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. That song right there, Don't Give Up, Peter Gabriel, right off of the So album, is covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658, 6105-1658. We have a call-in number, 803-866-1667, and you can call us anytime. We're just going to ask you, no foul language, no cursing, no cussing or anything like that. Like I said, we want this to be a fun family station, and that's what we want. And we expect that. Besides that, we don't want to pay any fines or any fees or anything like that or be banned from anything. So we have a lot going on. And today I was just informed about 10 minutes ago. I have somebody that I am very close to that is having an issue with experimenting, should I say, with some drugs, and I'm not happy about it. So I'm a little off my game. I apologize for that tonight. But it got me to thinking about how this is happening more and more and more, and especially through the veteran ranks, and when it really affects the people, your loved ones, and the people that you care about, it's extremely frustrating because you're dealing with adults, and a lot of times people are not going to see the problem that they have, or they don't want to admit to the problem that they have, and they don't get help, and they end up dragging in and hurting the other people that you love too. And it is such a sad, sad affair because you're helpless. And what do we do? How do we stop this? And for the longest time, the VA was part of this problem, you know, giving pain medicines and everything else. And, you know, it ended up hurting those people more than it did helping them. And we have so many problems with the VA right now. Just trying to get onto the Video Connect and everything else, it sends you a little thing. It tells you how to connect. It's given the wrong dates, the wrong times for appointments and everything else. And then it doesn't connect half the time. So I'm frustrated. And I have a couple of veteran brothers that are trying to get care. They're reaching out. They're trying to get care. And they've gone and seen four or five doctors on the outside. And four of them say, hey, you need to have this done. And the last one says, well, we might be able to do it with pain management. Well, you're going against four other doctors. So now what do they do? Now, I had this problem when I did this with my foot, you know, from walking and exercising and everything. And I had injured myself and ended up tearing my plantar fasciitis longitudinal wise. And then walking on my foot for a year because I could not get the appointments when I needed the appointments from the VA. And finally, they did me to outside care. And again, that took another 2 months by the time that we got that organized. And I am 4 months out of the surgery and still hobbling on my foot, because by the time I had the bone spur removed and everything, I have a hollow spot there. But it took a long time. And overall, it's taken a year now, a complete year from the onset of this problem. Actually longer, almost 13, 14 months from the onset of this problem to right now, to where I am walking without a boot and everything. And this is post-surgery. But it's very frustrating because it still hasn't healed completely right. And getting answers for it, getting in to see people to double check everything is impossible. And now, because I went back for my follow-up appointment, I'm getting billed for it. So I've been having to fight that because the VA did not take care of that when I should have had the post-op to make sure everything healed right. And instead, now I'm getting stuck with the bill, which is extremely frustrating. Because you're the ones who decided to put me onto the outside care, the community care, and now you could see in the VA that they don't want a lot of people to go to the community care. They'd rather treat them in house because they find, hey, you know what? It's going to cost more money than provide the care, and there entails the whole problem. How are we going to get the proper care? And a lot of us, believe me, we don't, a lot of veterans don't want to go to outside care. Well, a lot of them used to not want to go to outside care because we were in a setting to where we were comfortable. We were with our brothers and sisters. It eased some of the, you know, that anxiety and everything else, because you know people were dealing with the same thing that you were. And when you're going through that, they would appreciate, and you would appreciate everything that they did while they served. So there was a respect there. It's very frustrating. And when this COVID hit, this pandemic hit, it really messed things up. And for whatever reason, we're stumbling. It's like a stumbling block. They keep tripping over themselves along the way. And I'm hoping it's going to get better. But there are some definite problems, and they're not addressing them. The video connect is a huge problem. It's a huge problem. If you're going to send times for appointments and everything like that, and you try to connect and it's not connecting, or it's not getting through, or it'll get through a day later, or it's sending the wrong times, the wrong dates for these appointments and everything else, hey, listen, man, you know, get this right. I mean, I've got copies of this. I've got photos of this showing how many times it sent me the wrong appointment. And the VA is not open. At 4:30, the VA closes down here, but you still have the emergency room and everything. So how am I having an appointment at 6 o'clock p.m.? It doesn't work. And when I point that out, and I, you know, thank God the doctor talked to me on the phone. He said, yeah, I saw that. Okay. We have a problem. Nothing is getting done to fix it. Fix it. Too many of our brothers and sisters are already out there, and we're, you know, it's very uncomfortable when you come on in. You want to go to the VA and everything. We used to be able to bring our spouses with us, somebody to help, you know, help us, you know, calm down and everything else. We don't have that now. Okay. You can't have, they call them guests. They're not guests. They serve too. If we served and they served with us, they serve too. This is the person that we're walking through life with. They're not a guest. They're a family. And it's hard, but I understand. You have to keep, we want to make sure we don't get back into a COVID thing again. And I get it, but, oh boy, you know, to me, it's just, it's like you're getting nowhere. And you used to be able to go everywhere. Now you don't have that where you can do that and make appointments and say, okay, why wasn't this done? Or, you know, go back and check everything. It's impossible to get through on the phone. Is impossible. It's numbers that they're transferring you to don't exist or not connected anymore, or nobody answers. I mean, I called Mental Health Today to talk to the doctor. It rang like 10 times. Nobody answered. But that was the extension they gave me. That's not going to work. And it's not going to work for our veterans. That's a problem. But how do we address these problems? And how do we do it? I mean, it's just getting very, very hard. And of course, you know, the benefits are expanding to all vets on October 1st, you know, so, you know, some of them VA caregiver benefits. That's starting October 1st, an expansion that is expected to add thousands of families to the program in the next year. The move was originally scheduled to take place in 2020, but had been delayed 2 years as officials refined processing and support for the program. Currently, only veterans who serve from 1975 or after September 2001 are eligible for the benefits. It's a program of comprehensive assistance for family caregivers, you know, today. You know, is designed to support and compensate full-time caregivers, providing at-home assistance to severely wounded veterans, which is needed to be done, okay? You know, it's needed to be done. So, you know, our caregiving support line is ready. We will have double the number of staff on board in case anyone has any issues or concern. And we're just going to wait and figure out everything like that. But anyway, that's from Leo Shane III that put that article out. So, you know, and they're based on where veterans live, but generally hover around $3,000 a month to the most severely wounded individuals and $1,800 for others in need of around-the-clock care. So we're going to see how that goes. And but we do. We have a mess on our hands. And, you know, with the burn pits and everything, that is now part of that PAC thing. So that's in there. But by the time that you get through on the phone lines and try to get where you're going, it's nearly impossible. So it's changed that much, and there's so much information. If you're a veteran that's in need, yes, call 988. Okay, definitely, please. Your life matters to the rest of us. It does. Please call and get help or message us. But we're here. So, and we want to make sure that everyone's taken care of. But back to my problem that I was talking about before is, are we really going down the right road to help a lot of veterans? All the medications and everything like that. You know, I had asked. I deal with a little bit of anxiety and stuff like that. Trying to find right medications and medications that you need to help you along with that is very, very difficult. And it's a trial and error type situation. So sometimes it's exasperated my anxiety or depression and bipolar. And for a lot of others that feel that way, then a lot of us try to end up getting off the medication because we you know, you want to have that clarity, and you don't have that. You have that numbness. It's just like a numbing. And that's what it is, and you want to be clear-minded. So we have to find different avenues that we can go down to. For some, support groups help. For some, one-on-one helps. I couldn't do support groups because I felt like I was inheriting everybody else's problems along with my own. And I didn't want to do that to them either. It's very hard. I couldn't put that to the side. Then I'd always worry about somebody else. Then you come down, golly, you know, they have these problems. And you have to wonder what they think then. But is it the right avenue? You know, I've walking is a wonderful thing. Walking in music. I couldn't tell veterans enough about that, that I use that to calm my mind. I use that to get a lot of the stress off. Unfortunately, I'm still hobbling on this foot, which I'm trying to get in to make sure it's healing right, or do I need another surgery on it? I don't know. But I'm trying to get answers for that. And of course, I have a bike now, and you know, I go for a ride on the bike now. My girlfriend and I go for a ride on the bikes to try to de-stress or whatever. But even that's been hard. We've only gotten to do that a few times. But music plays a big, big role. And on top of that, the number one thing that has definitely helped me, and I keep trying to steer veterans into this, is, you know what? We've lost hope, and we've lost faith in a lot of things. We have to find that and get that back. The Bible helps me with that. And, you know, reading, doing the YouVersion app has been a huge, huge difference maker. And what we can't fix is not impossible for God. It's not impossible for him. For man, it's impossible. For God, it is not impossible. And that's one of the biggest things that, you know, I try to explain people is, it is not impossible for God. And it's the only thing that I found when I found myself just, you know, at my deepest, darkest place by myself. What was I going to do? You're the only one there. And I came to that conclusion, and I just kept going since then and going since then. And it doesn't, you know, you have to understand. I know what I have, what I deal with, and a lot of veterans, we understand what triggers and everything else. We learn that. You become kind of a professional at that after, you know, 30 years, 33 years. And it's still hard. Doesn't mean that everything will go away instantaneously. It will not. But, and I say but, it will bring a clarity. It will bring a calmness. It will bring a peace inside of you, which is enough of taking off an edge enough to get you by. So you won't give up. So you won't quit. It's important. And until we get the answers that we need and get the things resolved that need to be resolved from the VA, I mean, you know, if the medication is working for you, stay on it. You know, always listen to your healthcare professional. And I would say that. For me, I had to finally make a choice of, did I want to be numb and have no emotions and have no sympathy or empathy or anything? Or get off of it and follow Christ God and try to get my soul back on track? And veterans live with a lot of guilt, a lot of sorrow, a lot of hurt, a lot of betrayal. Which is even more important because the self-worth and everything else that they feel and they go through they don't think they can be forgiven. We already know as a Christian, a Christian veteran, you know, I can tell you that no one is worthy in the eyes of God. But you have to remember that Christ bridged that gap for us when he died for our sins. So we are worthy. Our biggest war is going to be inside of our own heads. At least it has been for me. It's been inside of my own head. And you're constantly getting tested. Because once you start to be, you know, follow Christ and follow the Bible and all these different things, you're in for it. I'm not going to tell you you're not. But that's the winnable war. What you have and everything else, that's a 365, 24/7 war, but this is the real war. And it's winnable. You just have to choose it. And it's hard. I'm not going to tell you those other things aren't still there or don't exist, because they are. You know, it's hard to be a Christian and still have these thoughts of, I don't want to be here. But I cannot take away what I don't own. And I don't own me. Christ, God, owns me. I belong to Him. So therefore, that's no longer an option. We have to get this mindset onto our veterans so that they're not committing suicide, so that they're not doing these things, so that we can help them, so they know they're not alone. You could be alone and not be alone. I mean, we have to get to that point. And I am so thankful we have such a forgiving God and a loving God. And I don't think that we put into perspective exactly what Christ went through for us. So I'm going to read you a little something here. Matthew 4, the first temptation. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Tempted again. And I want you to understand temptation of that. The most vile, evil existence in the universe is coming up to God's Son and tempting Him when He's hungry. He's going through the same emotions that we go through, the same feelings we go through, everything else. Listen, you want to talk about a war, that's a war. You're being tempted by the person that's invented it. He's got three purposes to be here: to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. That's His only goal. And our only defense is Christ. The second temptation. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall not give His angels charge concerning thee. He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, that in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And then the third temptation. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and all the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. We think about all the different wars. We think about all the different kingdoms or realms or countries or everything else. And he's offering them up right there. Hey, you worship me. Now, he already knows. He said, if thou be God's son, he already knows. Of course he is. Why would he offer something if he didn't know that? He knows that. He lost. I mean, we've seen it in every action throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. How he goes around and all he wants to do is make our veterans take their lives. And not just our veterans, but others, everybody else. Because he gets pleasure in that. This is where I found my peace. If you're going to fight a war, know your enemy. Know your enemy. Know what he's going to do. Look what he did to Job. And yet, he knew, even when he approached God, what are you doing here? Where have you been? Going to and fro. To and fro. Throughout the earth, to and fro. And of course, he told God, the only reason Job is so good is because you put a hedge up around him. God said, you could do anything that you want, but you can't take his life. And he did. He went down, he wiped out everything Job had. And he said, well, you won't let me touch him. Ah, oh, okay. Like I said, you can't take his life. Boy, he put Job through a lot. Talk about a war. It was a lot. But he didn't waver. That's us. That's what we have to learn. And it's the hardest thing to learn. But we have to know how to have a relationship with God. You can't just say, hey, I follow God or I follow Christ. I want to have this relationship. No, it doesn't work that way. How you approach God in everything that we do. You have to come to the Father. And if you go on over here to Matthew 6:9. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask of him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. But you can't just go to God and have a relationship with him on your terms when it's convenient. We need to be constantly praying. We need to constantly going to him. When we feel those triggers, when we feel those problems that we're going through, the different scenarios that is a stumbling block for us. And a lot of people are like, well, I can't see him. Well, see, that's called faith. But here's the beauty, you know, when you want to have hope, right? Guess what? Hope comes from faith. And Christ has done so many wonderful things. I mean, there's two ways of life. If you go over to Matthew 7, 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many be there which go therein. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. See, we have to be able to make that choice. It's free will. It's given to us. And we have to take it. And it's made a difference in my life. Last week, I was reading and looking at a couple of articles and stuff, and Christianity is going to be at its lowest point because we have so many people that are straying away, going to different religions or believing things that they want to believe. Oh, I think there's a supreme being, but, you know, the book is not going to lie to you. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. That's what the Bible is. It's open to interpretation, reproof. But there are still only two ways to live. One is for sure death. And the other one is eternal life. We just have to make that choice. And it's our choice to make. And it's a hard book to understand. You have to read it over and over again and constantly read it to understand the parables and go through it. And you're still going to get hung up. Read it again. Go through it again and again and again. And that's all that we can do. We have to watch out for the pitfalls. And we have to give each other hope and faith and encouragement to continue on. And that's the goal. And, you know, I'm blessed, and I say that in so many different ways, because, you know, when I was by myself, I had the dog, thank God. I had Christ, and I was just starting to delve in deeper and deeper and deeper, and the dog. And what was taken away, God has restored fully. I'm not veering from my faith. It's not going to happen. But we have to choose that. And reading throughout the Bible, the New Testament and everything, and watching the miracles, so many powerful words that Christ spoke, and people don't understand just how powerful they are. It is finished. Wow. Those three words, it is finished. Him dying on the cross, it is finished. Wiped us clean if we chose it. If we choose it. I made my choice. Forget about yesterday because it's blotted out. But our minds don't always let us do that. Medicines don't always let us do that. If you're having a problem with addiction, drinking, drugs, and everything else, understand something. It's a demonic thing. We have to clean ourselves. Kick it out. It can only be done with prayer. It can only be done with belief. It can only be done with faith and hope and love and charity. Why is it so hard for people to love something they can't see? Yet every day, I see the miracles and the great things that He has done in my life. What I've experienced. I'm a walking testimony to it. Because there is no other explanation for it. He's a living God. And He's here, and He's never away from me. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to have trials and tribulations. I do. But in the end, I just pray, and I know somehow or another He'll get me through. It gives me enough hope and faith to go to the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that. I could have been just another statistic. That's the sad part about it. We have too many statistics. Too many veterans. And then we see them play with the money, you know, with the numbers. We'll play with the numbers. We'll tell you it's down. It's been down. I don't care what the numbers are. If it's one veteran, it's one too many. If it's one person that's not a veteran, it's one too many. How do we as a people come together to stop that one person from deciding that this world is so not livable? And they're so unhappy and so sad and so depressed and so overburdened that they take their life. We have a responsibility. God gave us a responsibility to stop it. And here we are out there. We're right, wrong, or indifferent, funding wars. Dumping money into other projects where that money should be going to helping veterans, and that money should be going to making sure that we drop this number down. And it can be done. My question is, do they have the will to do it? So far, they haven't proven it. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And for me, I have this awe, this heart of these veterans that go through this stuff, because these guys are... they're tough, and they've you know, focused. And then they come back here and they're treated like garbage. And all these people that are complaining and moaning and groaning about everything, the only reason you get to do that is because of them and what they did. I mean, perfect example is Ukraine and Russia. They're going to annex in three parts of this thing from Ukraine, 17% of it, illegally. They were going door to door, knocking on doors at gunpoint. You're going to vote to annex it in. And now Ukraine has taken back a lot of these areas, and they're going to still try to annex it in. And then, because of his own pride and his own ego, everyone's worried about him using a nuclear weapon now. We've seen it with Israel. Nobody wants to give Israel the recognition. And God tells you here, chosen. Chosen. And even Israel, the people themselves, veer away from God. And he still loves them. He still wants to hear from them. Be it the Greeks, be it the Jews, be it the Gentiles, be it whoever. Christ God gets no pleasure out of losing anybody. It saddens him. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to worship him, glorify him. Why is that so hard? Why is that so difficult? It's a lot easier than taking a pill or multiple pills that numb you and take away your empathy and sympathy. But everybody wants to see a sign from God. Ah, show us. It doesn't owe us anything. He never promised us a thing, except if we believed in his son, who came, who died for our sins by crucifixion, and 3 days later rose and beat death, to believe on him, and you'll have everlasting life. I've already been down the other way. There's nothing down that road. This road's brought me the most peace and calmness and clarity. But I can't make the choice for you. You have to make the choice. I can just tell you the one road is dark. It's very dark. This one's light. It's lit up. You just have to choose it. It's just another way. And I don't understand why they don't want to share this information or anything else if it could save one life. Why is it so hard? If it could just save one life, is it not worth it? How many lives of all the pills and the medications and everything else that they gave you? Oxycontin, oxycodone, tramadol or, you know, lorazepam are all the different drugs. And they've taken how many lives, right? And you're afraid to share a book? I don't get that. I'm sorry. I don't get that. I disagree. But we're in this crazy world now where anything goes. And that's the problem. People have to realize you have to have a moral compass. You have to have a hope, a belief, a faith, and knowing, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, will never leave your side, will guide you and help you along the way. And we have so many veterans that are so alone and everything else. And they still have all those pills and everything else. And they end up taking their lives. If we prove anything, that way doesn't always work. Maybe it's time to look at it from a different perspective, an outside the box type thinking. Yeah, you're still going to have your problems. You're still going to have your issues. In the end, I still have lupus. I still have sarcoidosis. I still have a blood disorder. I still have a bad foot. I still fight bipolar every single day. Feelings of depression and everything else. The difference is, at the end of the day, I still get through it. And I go to the next day. It's at least livable. And then you ask yourself, okay, what then? Great, you made it another day. What then? Find the smallest glimmer of hope and faith. Start from there and build on to it. And every day, take a piece back that was taken from you. Remember, he's only come here to do three things. Steal, kill, and destroy. You have a choice. Next week, we're going to cover some stuff in Romans. I love the book of Romans, and it's wonderful. Before you go, I always like to read from Corinthians 12. Everybody is born with gifts. Everybody. So if you go into Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, you're going to love it. This is what God gives you. These are great things. The importance of all gifts. From 12 to 31. Chapter 12, 31. Read that too. And we have to learn to exercise our gifts with love. Chapter 13, 1 through 13. Instead of the hatred, the rejection, the hurt, and everything else, let's go a different way. Start doing things with love and care and understanding. I wish you all the best, and I just hope that if you run into a problem, message us. We'll get back to you. We'll try to get you what the help that we can, you know, guide you in the right direction. Remember, it's 988. Call the suicide line. know how important it is to us. Your life is. It's not what you think. You're not as alone as you think. We love you, and we just want you to keep fighting. Take care, folks, and we'll see you next week right here on the Trim Radio Network.
And the grand facade so soon will burn.